You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
What is up? This is Fantasy Sports Today, FST, on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Alongside the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, and in for Matt Modica today, it's the brilliant Nando DeFino.
That's right.
Hello.
What's happening?
What's going on?
So much fun being here.
Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Happy Fat Tuesday to you, Corey Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Sussman. Fat Tuesday, everybody out there in Mardi Gras. Enjoy yourself. Let me tell you, I had a rough morning this morning. You know what I mean?
What happened?
Well, I woke up extra early because I wanted to get here on time, you know, extra early. You know what I'm saying? To see if I can assist on the fourth floor. You know what
Very
I mean?
Very kind
Team
of you.
Player. You sure. know what I'm saying? That type of thing. And obviously now, you know, we get to come to work at a decent hour. This is my first time coming to work at a decent hour in many years, almost a decade of waking up at ungodly 4:30, stuff like that. But now the fantasy executive get a little bit more rest, feel a little bit fresher. I'm going to work with regular people now.
You look good. You look relaxed.
I am. I feel good about it. I'm in my bag right now, Nando.
Yeah.
So, basically, I have two different methods that I can take. I can walk over a little further to the west side and take the A train, or I can stay right there on Lenox Avenue and ride the 2 train. Sometimes the 2 train is very crowded. Today I decided I was going to take the 2 train. That was my first mistake. It's very, very crowded because everybody has to be to work at 9 o'clock. You feel what I'm saying? Not at 6 o'clock like we used to have to be to work. So I got my tunes jamming. Crowded train, tunes jamming. Train was going unusually slow today, right? But the problem was, as we're all packed into this subway cart, someone decides to pass gas. And like we're stifled and we're like in between stops. And the train stops, so it got even worse. So I'm listening to my music, right? I'm listening to that new Black Youngster joint, Hot Fire. And then that gives out because I lose service, so I don't have my tunes. It's this horrible smell. It's 20,000 people packed on top
of
me.
So to be clear, you have the free Spotify, not the premium.
Yes. No, I was on Tidal. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I told you Tidal is the worst streaming service ever.
What made you get Tidal?
I thought you were canceling it.
Yeah, but no, well, I got it still got it. What made me get Tidal? Because I wanted to hear the 444 Jay-Z album, which was a mistake because that wasn't that good. And then I'm stuck with Tidal and it smelled like trash. It smelled like a Pampa on the train. Everybody's packed in front of me. I'm losing. The hottest jam in the trap right now is getting me through it. But then I lose it and it was tough. Rough morning.
Sure, someone just didn't poop.
It might have been.
You never know.
It might have been. It might have been. It smelled like a Depends.
Boom.
It was real tough morning this morning, Nando. So, yeah, man, it's tough to get through that. I was worried that scent was going to get in my clothes. To be honest with you.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, and then I was going to bring it to work with me.
And then we thought you'd be the pooper.
Yeah, then it would look like it was me that was doing the
pooper,
the doodling. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
But it was not. Thankfully, I ended up getting off because I didn't want that scent on me, and then it just unraveled after that. But I did make it to work on time.
Wait, after that it unraveled?
It unraveled because we went to the next stop, and I got off, and it was like it was just bad after that. You know what I'm saying? So I ended up going to 59th Street, getting the A train, then just, and then after a while, I just got off, and I walked. And then I saw the cop that arrested me. That was crazy.
I want to hear that story. I want to hear that story next. Let's take a break. We come back. Happy Fat Tuesday, everybody.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
Back with you, FST on FNTSY. It's like Bodega's here, just with a coffee.
Oh, my bad.
It's perfect.
Good.
Where are you stood up?
Yeah, all right, cool.
There you go.
How you doing?
How are you? Do you have any stories about your commute this morning?
No, everything was good for me.
That's great.
I think.
Wonderful.
I buttoned my coat wrong, so that's about it.
It probably makes it cold.
Doesn't smell like fart, though.
No, so, exactly. Yeah, it doesn't smell like a Pamper. Yeah. So you're doing well this morning. Now, you take the ferry.
Yeah.
You ride some kind of... So you come on the water in the morning. Is it colder? Like, obviously, it should be.
It's all inside. You don't notice it.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
When you get on and off, though, there's a big wind, like, right on the river.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which street do you come in on?
39th.
Oh, that's right there.
Yeah, it's
that's
right there.
Bad.
And then there's a bus that takes you right down 34th, and I'm here.
There you go. That's a nice commute right there.
That's perfect. Corey, something we didn't get to yesterday that I wanted to bring up, certainly with Nando here as well, was Johnny Manziel's interview. And we didn't talk about it yesterday on FST, because he came out, wants to play football again. He's sober now, and he's been diagnosed over the last year with bipolar disorder.
All of a sudden.
In the last year, he's been diagnosed with bipolar disorder.
Not buying it.
You're not buying it.
Not buying it.
It's a medical disease that you are questioning.
No, I understand. I understand what you're saying, but you just don't get bipolar. Like, you can't drink yourself to bipolar disorder. That's something that they would have caught back in high school. Athlete like that, big-time athlete like that, come from a good family with good money and stuff like that. That would have been picked up years ago. You just don't develop that because you drank yourself into it. I think it's a likely excuse for people to feel sorry for him, to give him an extra opportunity and to kind of more or less is playing the victim. I'm not buying that from Johnny Manziel. He didn't have bipolar disorder when he was at A&M getting money and doing this stuff right here and running around all crazy with no disregard for the NCAA. He was fine then.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, he's a kid though. Do you go to the doctor when you're like 19 and be like, I think I have bipolar disorder?
I just think they would have found that out. You don't drink yourself into that. Now, I know that's the way I feel about it. I think he's looking for an excuse. You think that he could be bipolar?
I don't know, man. I mean, he's made some questionable choices.
Yes.
And done some strange things. It kind of explains away some of it. I'm not being the Johnny Manziel defender here.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, he's a kid still. It's not like he's 40 and he's like, I made all those mistakes because I was bipolar. I just discovered it. You know, remember we were that age?
Yeah.
Remember when Greg was that age? When Greg was in his 20s?
Yesterday.
It's 2 days ago now.
So I'm just saying, that's the way I look at it, Dondo. I'm not buying it. If he's getting... Now, listen, don't get me wrong. I want Johnny Manziel to get better. I want him to get help. I want him to play in the Canadian Football League. I think the NFL is past him.
But isn't it realistic that he may have been bipolar and just never knew it, right? Like... You don't know how
that's
to
diagnose it. That's what I'm saying. He's a kid. He's a college kid.
Yeah, you're a college kid. You're living a high life, and you're drinking, and you're doing drugs, and everything's great.
You're as famous as Justin Bieber.
Legitimately.
Yeah.
And then when everything comes crashing down, you don't know how to handle it. And you go into this depression, which he obviously clinically diagnosed, and he had depression quite obviously. And you didn't know how to turn yourself around. Like any of us, I'd like to think, you're on top of the world. And you can't stop drinking. You have an alcohol problem, which he did.
Yeah, he has an alcohol problem.
He had, admittedly, a drug problem as well. And he gets clean, and he relapses multiple times. And he has this depression. And maybe he goes to the doctor and he's like, listen, I can't stop. I don't know why. And they then diagnose him. Why isn't that realistic to you?
It's not realistic to me because I look at it more of a situation where he... I think it's more like I'm depressed now because I'm not doing what I want to do.
It's a convenient PR move.
It's a convenient PR move. I'm suffering from depression. I'm suffering from bipolar. But really, I'm suffering from accountability. That's what he's suffering from. And he's never been held accountable before. Never. There's never been no reason for him to be held accountable. When he was in the NCAA and he was doing autographs and signing football, things that he couldn't do, that wasn't supposed to be happening, what was NCAA going to say? We're going to stop you from playing football? He didn't care about playing football. He's never been had a situation that he had to be held accountable until the NFL held him accountable.
So
and now he's depressed. I'm not buying it.
Why does he care now?
Why does he? Because he wants to get back to playing football. He wants to get back to doing.
He doesn't care about playing football.
He didn't care about it then, and on the college level, because he knew he was going to get a shot at the NFL. And he's a rich kid. He was going to be fine regardless. And now I think that he's realizing that okay, I couldn't will my way out of this, so I'm depressed.
I know you hate this guy. But this just made me think of RG3. Like Manziel, RG3, Kaepernick. Like what? Like no one said a word about RG3 this season at all.
Yeah.
There weren't even like weird whispers of him going to the CFL. There was just like
RG3 said he had multiple tryouts with teams. Who knows if that's true?
Sure.
But he said he had been in contact with a couple
of
teams.
Like the guy from Crank Yankers?
Right.
He tried out for the Raiders.
Exactly. So something like that. And it didn't work out. It's very clear RG3 also went into a depression. I think that's very clear as well. Yeah. He might have come out and said that as well. But when it comes to Manziel, America loves a rehab story. They love seeing people hit rock bottom and then being able to climb out of it. And Johnny Manziel, for
it's not true for Logan Paul.
I was not getting a Logan Paul.
All right, sorry, go ahead. I'm just here to take us off track, Greg.
That's what
I mean. Don't you wish you had Madika Coffin now, buddy?
We had the same thing. We had the same idea. Take Greg off track.
Logan, Madika might have brought Logan Paul, too. But anyway, theoretically, they love seeing an athlete come back. Like, even Michael Vick going to jail, coming back, having all the success with Philadelphia. Like, people like Michael Vick again. And I think Johnny Manziel, people will want to root for him. And he goes on Good Morning America after being really out of the spotlight for most of the last year or two. Goes on Good Morning America and pours out his heart. I'm bipolar. I realize this. I want to get back to football, get back to doing my thing. He's going to get people to root for him. He's going to get people on his side, which is nice, and it's good for him. The ultimate question, though, Nando, is he good enough? Probably not, right?
I think we saw, like, you had Kaepernick and you had RG3 who were completely disposed by the NFL this year. It's...
But isn't that a little bit different? Like, Colin,
I don't know. They're both running quarterbacks.
Yes, but Colin Kaepernick wasn't disposed because he couldn't play in the NFL.
Yeah, he was disposed.
Not because he couldn't play in the NFL.
Well, I'm saying Johnny Manziel might be just as big of a problem as Colin Kaepernick to a team. The distractions, the circus, all this stuff. What if he goes back to... I think Josh Gordon's a far more compelling story than Johnny Manziel.
That's the 30 for 30 you want to see. That's the football life you want to see, the Josh Gordon one. That one is going to be very good when they do that. Okay, put it like this. You take Kaepernick and you take Manziel. One thing, it's totally different reasons why they're not in the NFL. Obviously, the owners colluded against Kaepernick, where Johnny Manziel, he just couldn't, he's a drunk. He couldn't be on the football team.
Right.
But you also look at both players in a role as backup quarterbacks. And you don't put that, you don't want the media to rush into the locker room and everybody go to the backup quarterback.
And I think that's what actually happened in New York with Tim Tebow, right? Like, not that Mark Sanchez was ever very good, but in the middle of Mark Sanchez's development, you bring in Tim Tebow, and it became a story for no reason. Like, you're trying to develop a kid, develop him to be your franchise quarterback, and you bring in Tim Tebow, and that becomes the biggest story in this city in particular.
Yeah.
And it was a disaster for the Jets. And I think the same thing, and you said that all along last year when it came to Colin Kaepernick. Why won't a team sign Colin Kaepernick? It's because you don't. It's not worth it
unless he could be the starting quarterback.
Right. Correct.
Then it's a good move as a starter.
Sure.
But as a backup, you can't have the backup demand that much attention.
Right. I get that. I do.
It may not be the popular sentiment, but it's, I think it's the true one.
So let's say then Johnny Manziel's next step has to be the CFL, right? Like he has
to go to the CFL.
If he wants to go play football again, go to the CFL, prove you can stay sober, prove you still have something left, and then come back.
Yeah, it's like a minor league baseball player.
Doug Flutie did it.
Yeah, exactly. Chris Carter did it. Chris Carter got to do it in the NFL, but Chris Carter, Johnny Manziel, not a talent as Chris Carter.
No, Chris Carter had his own drug and alcohol issues.
Exactly,
as well.
Exactly. But he had the talent.
Sure.
You feel what I'm saying?
Josh Gordon has a talent.
Josh Gordon has a talent. Johnny Manziel, I don't know if he has the talent.
I don't know either.
I don't know. I don't know. I agree with everything you said.
Yeah, I don't know either. If he has the talent. And talking about Johnny Manziel leads me to another story that broke last night or yesterday afternoon. And I know where I'm going with this, Corey, and that's Kareem Hunt, right?
Yeah.
And so Kareem Hunt, Pro Football Talk piece comes out yesterday that a woman is accusing him of shoving her after a party. And you read the story, and basically Kareem Hunt, a bunch of boys, had some girls over middle of the night. They're all drinking. 3:45, and he says, he was like, "Oh crap, you're under 21. Get the hell out of here." And she's said he physically shoved me out. Witnesses, a female witness on Kareem Hunt's side, basically is like, that's not what happened. She was arguing, and we told her she's got to go.
Yeah, no. What he was supposed to do at this point?
Yeah,
you got to. She has to leave. You know what I'm saying? She was able to get back. You know what I'm saying? With the rest of the crew, whatever, and they was gonna have a good time like adults do. She's not an adult. So you have to leave. There's no party over here for you because you're underage.
But, it was 3:45 in the morning.
Yeah.
You don't think he knew any of this for the last however many hours?
Yeah, people might have shown up. They might have been at the bar all night. Be like, I know someone who's at Kareem Hunt's house. Let's go. It's 2 a.m. Just jump in the car. Let's get an Uber. I think the one thing that's going to be kind of important here is that Ezekiel Elliott lost his case, basically. He lost it. After all that trial and tribulation, he lost. So I wonder if Kareem Hunt looks at this, if they get him like a 2-game suspension, do you not fight that and you lose Kareem Hunt for two games?
It's like what we saw about on the fourth floor yesterday. You feel what I'm saying? Do you let them put that on you?
Prosecutors are not pursuing. There's no charges that have been filed of any sort.
The NFL is bigger than that.
Yeah, they can just be like, nope, sorry.
The underage thing, though, is going to be big. If she is truly underage, like I think she is, and then, oh, then she called him a slur, too. In Black History Month. Why would you do that?
All right, that was a way too serious 10 minutes. When we come back, let's celebrate Fat Tuesday together, people. We'll do it next on FST.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money, and lots of it, by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
The beginning of Mardi Gras is upon us.
Remember Lean Back Nando?
Yeah, I do.
The jam.
I never really liked it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I never really do it.
I thought everybody liked Lean Back.
I mean, I didn't hate it.
I did. Yeah.
You didn't like Lean Back either?
No, of course I liked Lean Back.
Yeah, Lean Back. Yeah. You was in Maryland then, right?
I was.
You was in school. That was probably the jam at Bentley's.
No, not really.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, not bad.
That's right. Hey, it's Fat Tuesday, everybody.
Yeah, it's the Mardi Gras thing.
It's Mardi Gras thing. What do you...
No, he got the good ones.
I have a lot of good ones. I mean,
Corey got the one with the words on him.
You want ones with words on them? Here you go. Yeah. There's that one. We got that one.
Well, I don't want all of them. You take one,
right? I want ones with words on them. That's why I didn't put any of them on. It's Mardi Gras here, and we're celebrating. Not by... not with a parade. Not by... Going down to Bourbon Street, fortunately, Corey.
Well, that would have been cool if we could have did that this morning. It would have been better than that train ride.
We can go to that bar.
We can go to that bar.
There's a bar called Bourbon Street.
There is a bar called Bourbon Street. I like that bar,
it's actually. It's over west side? East side?
There's one right around here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'd rather go to the authentic one.
There's a Bourbon Street that's actually relatively close to here, actually.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
All right.
So, we could do that. But instead, we're going to celebrate Fat Tuesday the only way we know how, Corey.
What's that?
That is talking about fat baseball players.
All right, I can do that.
That's
not nice because, you know, body shaming is a thing now.
Shaming.
So let's not...
Shaming.
Body shaming is a thing now.
Yeah.
So let's not say fat. Let's say...
Well, it's Fat Tuesday.
Let's say... I want to. When I refer to the player so I can stay out of trouble, I'm going to say he's a heavier gentleman.
Okay.
I'm not going to say fat. Fat is body shaming.
So we're having heavier gentleman Tuesday.
Yes, heavier gentleman Tuesday. No, I don't want to body shame.
I understand, man. Yeah. That's the right thing to do.
It's nice. I'm sorry. I guess I'm the rude one here.
Yeah, you're body shaming.
I apologize for the body shaming that is about to occur when we talk about Fat Tuesday, the cover boy, in my opinion, CC Sabathia.
He lost a lot of weight. You've seen him, right?
Yeah. That's what I was telling him downstairs.
So everyone's told me
he's not fat anymore.
But whenever CC loses weight, he always performs worse.
No, you're right.
Always.
I like a portly CC, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I like a heavy set CC.
McDonald's CC.
You get that bulldog pitcher. You know what I'm saying? Listen, he's not going to give you, you know... He's a real, real deep back of the rotation bench guy. Obviously, he might be able to give you a couple W's. He plays hard. He takes the ball every fifth day. But it's too many home runs. The ERA is bloated. It's not really a guy I'll be into.
I don't. I tend to go young when I go with my pitchers.
Sure.
Like young flame baller. Like I don't want to. I don't know. Maybe once in a while there's room for a CC Sabathia type for me. I'm not worried about the weight. I think, you know, where he is right now is good. You're comfortable. In your own skin, you can be the CC Sabathia you want to be.
I'm kind of upset he lost weight.
He looks funny, to be honest.
He does.
When he got super skinny, he looked weird.
He looks funny. He's doing that again. I think didn't we read something about this, Greg? Like he went vegan or something.
It's terrible. Now all the articles, if you look at it, are actually from 2014.
No, if you Google the picture he took at the Rock Nation brunch with his wife,
yeah, I don't believe that.
What do you mean? You
don't believe it's a picture
because no one else is talking about it.
Like, well, that's him.
Well, how many beat writers looking at the Rock Nation?
That would be the biggest story ever.
Slideshow.
If he looked exactly like that Rock Nation picture. I don't see anything.
You don't see the picture from the Rock Nation?
I know the picture from the Rock Nation that you're talking about.
Yeah.
That we looked at. But if you look at, that would be a huge story. Because he lost a crap ton of weight.
A lot of people would probably didn't see that picture. That's why.
I don't know, man. People find everything on the internet these days.
All right. That picture's out there. And I think that's him.
Are you sure it wasn't him from 2014?
No, I think that was, because you could tell by the background, that's the same background and everybody took the pictures in at that brunch.
Sure.
Like, there was a lot of celebrities at that joint. CeCe was there, and CeCe and Jay is peoples.
They are, absolutely.
Yeah.
I can't find anything.
They live in that same, no, they don't they, do they live out there? No, they live in Tribeca. He live out there by Mary J. Blige, CeCe. CeCe Sabathia is a very wealthy man.
Corey yes. Parsons, Star Maps.
where does CeCe Mary J. live?
And over here, they if you live, look to the left.
They, yeah, it's like a neighborhood like that. They live out in Jersey with all like the rich.
Oh,
like
yes.
Chris Rock live out there. Right, Mary right, J. live right, out right, there. Right, CeCe right. live out there, too. He might have the biggest crib out of all of them.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, CeCe's paid.
He might be the richest out of all.
Yeah, he might be.
Chris Rock's made a lot of money, too.
Yeah, Chris That's Rock true. Is real rich, too.
Real rich.
Well, who was complaining? Because he was making like $50 million for the Netflix special.
Oh, that
like
was
Amy Schumer
neat.
Or someone who was...
that was, was very embarrassing. Yeah, that was very embarrassing, what happened with Monique. Let's move past that.
Okay, well...
That's funny.
Hold on, I'm on this baseball reference
really
page looking
herself.
Up how much money he's made.
CeCe's made a lot of money.
$242 million over his career.
He made a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's life's been good for CeCe, but no interest in fantasy baseball. He was a bulldog last year. He started game 7 in the playoffs for the Yankees, pitched really, really well, had a great season for them, but doesn't make you interested in fantasy this year.
I like K per 9. That's the first thing I look at, and CeCe Sabathia hasn't had a crazy K per 9 in a little while.
He doesn't really do that anymore.
That's what I need. I think K per 9 can help you become a better ERA and whipper. I don't think it works the other way around.
Okay.
7.3 last year, 7.6, 7.4. He had a 9.4 aberration, went back down to 7.5. Those are the last 5 seasons of K per 9.
Let me ask you about another fat guy then that you can't look at K per 9 for. Or you can.
Is Bartolo Colon?
No, I'm not going to ask about Bartolo Colon. He's in the he's on a minor league deal with Texas.
He'll be up.
He'll make 6 starts at least.
You'll stream him.
No, I won't.
He'll be their closer.
Oh, you, oh look
what?
At that. Yeah, like that's a lot. That's like a Lenny Melnick thing, right there.
You,
yeah.
You watch.
Do you think Bartolo Colon's gonna be the closer?
Who's their closer right now?
They don't really have one.
You got a wily veteran. That's what they've been lacking for the last several years.
They did just sign someone though.
I don't know.
Well, Alex Claudio.
Oh yeah, Matt Bush is still there, right?
Matt Bush is still there. Kenny Kayla is still there. Alex Claudio is still there. They also just signed. Somebody.
You go to a roster resource. Greggy, what are you going on right
now? Like Greg don't like, Greg's not a roster resource guy.
You know
guy.
Why? Because roster resource isn't quick.
Yeah, it's just, exactly. They just signed Sung Hwan-oh. Your boy, Sung Hwan-oh.
Sung Hwan-oh last year was the most disappointing player I've ever owned on any team.
You
wanted to draft him over.
Well, I was forced to own G-Mark Gomez. I got Sung Hwan-oh early.
No. You wanted to draft him over Kenley Jansen.
Yeah. No.
Yes, you did.
I think I wanted to wait. Not get Kenley Jansen and then get Sung Hwan-oh.
I think you said I really like Sung Hwan-oh this year.
I did. There's no reason not to like him. And then he just bought him out.
We drafted Kenley Jansen for the record.
We did all right. Except for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then the middle three. Anyway, who is the fat guy you wanted to bring up? A lot of strikeouts?
That doesn't strike out. He's not a pitcher. He's a hitter.
Oh.
And I wanted to bring up Carlos Santana.
Carlos Santana.
Call him fat?
Yeah, he's not.
It's portly.
We gonna call him fat?
I think he's average. I think he's like
but, you know,
he's, like, he's got like a dad bod.
Listen,
you know what I mean? It's not a bad
there's
body.
Not many,
there. I have a body like
there's
that.
There's not many like Mo Vaughns left in baseball.
No, you don't have those real big heavy set dudes like that.
But Jesus Aguilar is.
Cecil Fielder type
Jesus
guys.
Jesus Aguilar. Well, if Ryan Braun plays first, like everyone's saying, then that's the end of the Jesus Aguilar.
Correct. Right? So I didn't really want to bring him up because, you know, there's even though he's a fat guy,
yeah,
he's not really relevant. So Carlos Santana is a portly dude.
He's a portly dude. I'll go with it. He's a dad bod.
He's a portly dude. No, he's now in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And does that make you more or less excited?
A little bit more because the park's better.
Okay.
It's a smaller park, but
yep.
I've never really been a Carlos Santana guy since he lost his catcher eligibility like 8 years ago. he's just, look, again, you know what his ceiling is. Although I think you could raise his ceiling a little bit in Philadelphia. I would assume the average would go down because he's going to take a lot more shots at hitting home runs.
Okay.
You could be looking at a 30-home run Carlos Santana in the greatest timeline.
Now, Carlos Santana is always somebody that we've always liked so much more in points leagues, right? Where you're counting OBP
yeah,
over
stupid
average.
Walks and doubles.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's not stupid.
It's not part of the... We've been through this before.
Yes, we have.
Walks are counted as runs. It's already accounted for.
I don't agree.
All
right. So I like Carlos Santana in the points leagues. His OBP is always very, very high. 363 last year. 259 average back-to-back years. You know what you're getting out of Carlos Santana. Now, going to Philadelphia...
Can I just go ahead and say the catchphrase? He's a back... Carlos Santana's the back of the baseball card guy.
There you go.
Catchphrase done.
Well, I'm just... Listen, I gotta get these things out there because with my, you know, when people take my, I'm a tout.
That's right.
All touts have catchphrases.
Tout with a capital T.
Yes, with a capital T. All touts sure. had catchphrases. Shout out to the King Scott Angle, who yesterday said I was the fifth woman in Tout Wars. That was a good one from Scott. He gets those off every now and then.
Carlos Santana doesn't really strike out. Career low 14.1% of the time he struck out last year. Like I said, career low.
That's patience.
That's very, very much so. He walked 13% of the time. Hit 23 home run in progressive at Progressive Park. He plays at least 143 games each of the last 6 seasons.
Yeah.
So he plays, going to play every day at first base, maybe a little outfield with Rhys Hoskins there, maybe switching off a little bit. So he's going to play a lot. And in Citizens Bank, I think there's a lot to like about Carlos Santana.
I want to see something. I want to see how many times he DH'd last year. Well, I got to go to Baseball Reference
I'm
for
already,
that.
Hold on, I can do that for
Standard
you.
Standard fielding, DH, only 7 times.
Yeah.
You're not looking at a guy who's losing the DH.
No, he plays first base, and when they would play in the National League, he played the outfield.
He played 7 outfield games last year, too.
In early play.
Still kind of boring to me.
Why? He's good. What?
If you wait on your first baseman, I think Carlos Santana is a worthy dude. The batting average is not going to be outstanding, but he's going to play every day, which is important. Don't look past players that play every day because they get those at bats every day. You don't have to worry about that. Durability is one of your best abilities. Carlos Santana has that. He hit you 25 bombs. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Playing a good park.
Yes.
I don't have a problem with Carlos Santana, but he's not fat.
In the last two.
He's not exciting.
He's portly. In the last two weeks, according to the NFBC, he's going off the board at number 165.
Late for him.
Other first basemen that are around, I want to get your opinions on if you like Carlos Santana better.
Like
or
Justin Bauer, is that the area?
His name is Justin Bauer. And Justin Bauer.
I say Bauer.
Justin Bauer.
For the people listening.
Went 40 picks later.
All right.
Right around Carlos Santana is Matt Carpenter.
I'd rather have Santana.
Okay.
I'd rather have Santana, too.
You also have, who else here? Eric Thames.
No, oh, I do. I go for
fooling,
him, man.
I'm not fooling with things.
I want 45 home runs.
Wow,
but you're also gonna bat 200.
I don't care. I'll make that up with like Dustin Pedroia in the last round as my second baseman.
But you just told me how about Ryan Braun play first base? It's gonna hurt Jesus Aguilar. It's gonna hurt Eric Thames too, and he can't hit lefties.
I don't know if you're gonna take Thames out of love with that
of
bat.
Course they took him out last year. He can't hit lefties.
I don't know if they're gonna do it 2 years in a row. You learn. You probably learned how to. You can learn things in the off season.
Other first
base. I like the how about the upside.
I like Carlos Santana more.
Upside.
Yes.
For everything. Notorious
Josh Bell.
Josh Bell, I like a lot. That dude had a great. I'll check his August and September stats for you. Josh Bell quietly killed it at the end.
He's not really fat either. Let's talk about other fat guys or portly gentlemen here. Next.
Playing a Notorious Big song. He's fat.
Notorious B.I.G. He's big.
Yep. Right.
Fat Tuesday continues on FSD.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created 3 others. That's 4 people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
Speaking of giving DFS a try, Fantasy Factor is the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pool, smaller field, single entry contests only. Fantasy Factor runs NHL and NBA free rolls each and every week. They're free to enter, so sign up today at www.fantasyfactor.com. Maybe Mardi Gras. Do you do things for Mardi Gras normally?
Oh, I used to. My best friend lives in New Orleans. I lived in New Orleans for a little while.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Tell you what, but today is the worst day you can actually go out and have fun for Mardi Gras.
What's
like
that?
Thursday. The weekend before, they have the parades, and it's a lot more fun. Tonight is actually terrible. It ends at midnight. They kick everybody off the streets. A bunch of jokers show up who just don't know how to relax and have a good time. So, yeah, it sucks.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to eat a lot of meat today, though, because tomorrow is Ash Wednesday.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Now, is this the first time that Ash Wednesday also falls on Valentine's Day?
I don't know. I think so. I'm sure it's happened before.
Because it's wild to me. Like, people are going to go out for like really nice meals with their significant others where it'll be ash on their forehead.
Well, I mean, I get my ash late.
Oh, do you?
Or sometimes I get it early and it wipes off just naturally by the day.
True. don't know. I just felt bad. You'd have pictures, right, for Valentine's Day.
Who takes pictures on Valentine's Day?
A lot of people take pictures.
That's like puppy love, though.
Yeah.
Like newly minted.
Is it?
Where are you and Judy going tomorrow?
We're not going anywhere fancy.
They're going somewhere.
Oh, you're going to take a picture?
I don't know, maybe.
All right.
Maybe not. Yeah, you know what? I just think we're for dinner.
You don't have to worry about Ash Wednesday, though.
No. I went for dinner.
You put some on there just for the heck of it.
that would be treasonous.
I just realized we went for dinner Sunday for my birthday. We didn't take a picture.
Really?
Yeah. I guess we're over those pictures. You're
I'm
right.
not a big picture taker, so.
You don't like pictures in general.
No. No.
It's not when you're with your friends drinking.
Yeah.
Then you like pictures a little bit more.
Well, I'm not going to say. I'm not going to. Let me get out of this picture real quick while you're taking
what
one.
What are you doing for Valentine's Day tomorrow?
Nothing. We don't do anything.
You don't do anything.
No, we're just kind of like whatever.
Yeah, I mean they've been together for a long time. So you kind of get a pass when you put those years in.
It was from the start. We're like, this is stupid.
Oh, really? That's good.
Let's go get some wings. Come on over and play the Wii. That's how I went.
I like that.
And that's why he married.
That's it. Yeah. I'm like, okay, this is cool.
I like this one.
Yeah.
Now we're going for dinner, but we do no gifts of any sort.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I'm not doing much. I'm all right with it.
Right.
Yeah, because there's not really going
now,
on.
Now, do you? It's maybe weird, but did you like call your daughter on Valentine's Day?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I will call her, and she will get something in the mail too.
That's nice.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's very nice. Yeah. Okay. That's cool.
That's adorable.
It is adorable. Yeah. Absolutely. That's super adorable. What about your son? Do you call your son?
No, I don't call him. He probably called me and be like, "I say, can you cash at me some money because I got to get a card for Valentine's Day or something like that."
And by the way, I passed 7 feet tall today.
Oh my God!
So Corey's son is like the tallest guy I've ever met.
The other day when he came in, I was like, "This dude, he's probably taller than you now, Nando." And I'm like, I just saw you 30 days ago. What's going on?"
It's crazy.
He's going to be over 6 feet, well over 6 feet.
But he doesn't like basketball.
Not no more. I don't. It's just going to be. I don't like that because when you're tall and don't play basketball, it's like, why don't you play basketball?
How about volleyball? You know, people always ask Maria Marino if she plays basketball.
Yes,
she's a volleyball. She's a volleyball player.
Yeah. Maybe that's
his path to the Olympics.
Maybe that's what it is.
She wants to play volleyball. That'd
yeah,
be cool.
That would be cool.
Play Maria volleyball. Marino can mentor your son.
Yeah, in volleyball.
It's perfect.
And go play for the University of Maryland.
That'd be cool.
Mm-hmm. They got scholarships for that.
And it's in state, more importantly.
Yes, and it's in state tuition.
Did you get any numbers on Josh Bell?
Yeah, Josh Bell. So I actually missed. I'm going from post All Star break because it looks like his average started to climb a little bit there.
Okay.
From the All Star break to the end of the season, .274 batting average over 71 games, 10 home runs, 46 runs batted in, 30 runs scored, zero steals, but three caught stealings, which is kind of feel good story.
What?
Means he was trying.
Three times.
And an .808 OPS with a .307 BABIP, which means that's pretty normal for the course if he keeps that up.
Yes.
So you could expect, I mean, let's just be dumb and double it. You get .274 average and 20 home runs. And you think Josh Bell will mature a little more without just doubling it. So let's give him 25 home runs.
What, do you worry, not worry about him, but like in a lineup that obviously no longer has Andrew McCutchen.
Yeah, it sucks.
Who knows if Josh Harrison will be there opening day.
Right.
So a lot of getting a little bit different, clearly.
Yeah.
Josh Bell takes a step forward with that, takes a step back with that.
I mean, I think it's the Freddie Freeman syndrome.
Okay.
Freddie Freeman had plenty of good seasons still without any one of the Braves around him.
Sure did.
And everyone was, whoa, Freddie Freeman doesn't have anyone around him. He sucks. And he get 100 runs batted in, 100 runs scored. You know, like,
yeah.
He was fine.
Okay.
I think if you're good enough, you're fine. And I think Josh Bell, who was a top 40 prospect like 2 years in a row and made the top prospect list, I think 4 years in a row, is going to mature into something very special, maybe by June.
All right, so you're in on Josh Bell this year.
I'm in on Josh Bell, especially at his ADP.
Okay.
With that group that he's around, I like it.
Let me give you another fat guy. Fat Tuesday. Here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Nelson Cruz has gotten kind of fat in his old age.
Yeah, but here's the thing about that, though. Even though Nelly, you know, he gained a couple pounds and as he got up there, like, that's going to happen to all of us, too. You know, unless you're really into working out and stuff like that. But let me tell you something. I'm not tripping off it because Nelly hit 30 plus 35 30. Nelly, listen, the last couple of years since 2014, 40 44 40 43 39. He's playing 155 games every year. He's hitting over 280, driving in close to 100 runs all the time. And then you look at some of the peripherals, and he's doing this playing at that ballpark in Seattle. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He's walking more. The average is up there. He's an elite offensive player. Now, he strikes out more than 20% of the times, but you don't like that. But I'm down with Nelly Cruz. Nelly Cruz is a dude that'll be on the fantasy executive tout wars team.
He will be. That's a bold statement.
Yeah, you heard it here first.
How high are you going on? He's at 16. Oh, you're doing draft, not
I'm
auction,
doing a
right?
draft. Thank you for not making me get into that debate right
there. Nelson Cruz, Nelson Cruz
is like,
oh,
what, a $19 player? Nelson Cruz, a $19 player?
So NFBC, he's number 56 overall.
Yeah.
Number 56 overall.
And that, is that 15 or 12 team?
15.
And the 15 team, so what's that, like?
56, you're looking in the fourth round.
Yeah, I'll take him in the fourth round.
Take him in the fourth round.
I don't like him there.
How come?
You know what's weird? Like, when something, Nelson Cruz is the perfect example of why I probably will not win a lot of first places and go second. Because I will stay away from Nelson Cruz because I remember 6 years ago, he always had these hamstring issues.
Literally 6 years
ago. Always had these calf issues. Always had these blah, blah, blahs. And apparently he's gotten past it. I'm willing to believe that he's gotten past it. But it still just sticks. Like, what if this is the year that Nelson Cruz plays 80 games because his hamstring issues that I remember pop up again?
But you can't play like it like that.
No, you can. Not.
Oh, you can play. Well, you can play a little bit as a tiebreaker.
Do you still have that feeling of the Chris Sale on his elbow from many
a little
years
bit?
Ago?
Actually, yeah. Yes, I do.
Because I always go last year. This year, upcoming is the first year that I've kind of decided I'm not going to worry about that.
And that's that's the year when it hits you.
Every other year, I've always worried about Chris Sale's elbow because he was never hurt, but it was just like it's coming.
So last year, you know, you hear about, Jed Jerko.
Sure.
So finally, it looks like he's not going to play a lot because they got all these other guys. And I'm like, all right, you know, this is the year I'm not going to do, like, someone said two, I'm not going to say three on Jerko.
Sure.
And he went nuts. That was 2 years ago.
Had a good year.
Like, yeah, so of course, now it makes me even stronger in my resolve to remember these stupid little things. Like Craig Kimbrell, when there are all these rumors he's going to have Tommy John because he's not pitching well in spring training for the Padres 4 years ago. Still haven't gotten over that.
Yeah, those long-term effects of things that you're hearing about and they're just like in the background.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't get rid of them. Nelson Cruz, interestingly enough, I do want to say this. The Mariners, I believe, have the longest playoff drought in sports right now.
That's tough.
The Bills made the playoffs, I believe the Mariners have the longest drought in sports. They have not made the playoffs since 2001.
It's 2001. Was that series? Was that series when
that was when they finished the best record in all of baseball and the Yankees beat them.
That's the series where Roger Clemens was dominant. I believe that was game three, and Roger Clemens was dominant. Like, dominant Roger Clemens was just mowing them down.
A lot of steroids.
You don't know how many.
He
jammed his arm into a trash can full of dirt.
Who?
Roger Clemens. Remember the stupid commercial where Roger Clemens, you know how I stay in shape?
Yeah.
I jam my arm into like a trash can full of sand.
Exactly. That's not steroids. Yeah, he's jamming his arm.
You don't know what was in that sand. Just a bunch of needles right before.
I know, right? The cream and the clear.
So anyway, so Nelson Cruz, playing on this team that hasn't made the playoffs since 2001, that was 17 years ago.
They even put all that money in Robbie Cano and still can't make the playoffs.
Correct.
Oh, they got D. Gordon up top.
They have
of the
D. Gordon now, Gene Segura up as well at the top of the lineup. Your boy Mitch Haniger, right? Yeah. So this team looks good. But what if this happens? It's the summer. Nothing goes right again. They fall out of the race. Nelson Cruz is going to be a free agent after this year.
He's an expiring contract.
He's an expiring contract. He could be traded away to a ballpark that could be a lot better than Seattle.
And now you make a good point right there, Greg. I like the way you're thinking. I like what you're speculating on. So say like a team like the Orioles or somebody like that. Need a
back
bat
to
that.
The Orioles, sure.
Need a bat, and you can send them
Toronto,
back to Baltimore, Toronto.
Right?
Toronto going to be trash though.
Yeah,
but you got a team that can use a bat, especially in the American League with a favorable ballpark like that. Yeah, I like that. I'm in on Nelly because when I do my, I finish in the top four of Tout Wars,
right?
So I get to pick my draft spot. I want to be towards the back end of it,
really.
So I'm gonna get those two good bats to start, and then 3-4 turn, I probably go two good pitchers. So
but you just said you're gonna take Nelson Cruz.
Yeah, I may not be able to get Nelly because I don't know. I'm gonna figure it out. I'm in roto camp, Greg.
Would you rather have Nelson Cruz or Byron Buxton?
I believe in Byron Buxton.
Really?
I think those counting stats are, he's going to develop. I mean, the kid's, he's what?
23?
He's not even old enough to go to Kareem Hunt's parties. I think we forget a lot of these baseball players, and I think this kind of speaks to why there's so many free agents who haven't been signed yet, because they're coming up so much younger now.
Sure.
It's a norm for a 21, 20-year-old to be ready to go.
Would you rather have Nelson Cruz or Tommy Pham?
Nelson Cruz.
You don't like Tommy Pham?
I'm not really on Tommy Pham.
I like Tommy Pham.
I think the Cardinals move their players around so much.
Yeah.
These multi-position guys are going to lose at bats. You know, Tommy Pham can end up with 450 at bats because they decided to mix and match some players.
He played really, really well last year, though. 1 minute. Really, really well.
I know, but that could have been an aberration.
Absolutely.
Are we going to co-own a team again this year anywhere, Greg?
Would you like to?
I'm not playing in GST this
year. I know you're not.
Why are you not doing in GST?
Because everyone sucked in it last year, and it was a disaster. What else do you want to know about?
Right.
That message board was the most annoying message board I've ever been a part of in any league I've ever played.
All right, so then I'm not going to do it either.
Well, I don't want to pull people down with me.
Well, you just do what I did and just shut the messages off.
I was going to see if somebody wanted to be a partner for the GST.
Right.
Because Billy Hayes is talking trash, you know what I mean? So I was just going to see if I could get a partner for the GST.
Sure. Oh, Greg needs a partner.
I don't.
No, Greg is good.
I have partners. They're my BFFs.
Give me one. So you dump me anyway.
Give me one in the
you
BFFs.
You told me 6 months ago you're never doing anything again.
That's sad.
So you dump me.
That was just bluster.
No. You want to join up?
No, you can have the BFFs. It's cool.
Take a break. We'll come back. Come more fat guys wrap up the hour after this.
How's it going in there?
5 more minutes.
Okay, let's play a game. 2 truths, 1 lie. We're not gonna be late to the party. In the time you've taken to get ready, you could have been on your way to saving a life. And I'm wearing that tie you hate.
We're not gonna be late, we're 10 minutes away. You wouldn't dare wear that tie. And I can't save a life. I'm not a firefighter.
Actually, I swabbed my cheeks last week.
It takes less than a minute to get your cheek swabs. Register at dkms.org and you can be a superhero by helping someone out.
And a fantasy baseball.
Reminder, Meatloaf, fat guy, and fantasy baseball player.
Yeah. He was really good in those ESPN Uber leagues.
I heard that. I remember that.
I am not a fan of calling people fat. I really am not.
Yeah, Greg.
I'm not.
It's Fat Tuesday, man.
But body shaming is a thing.
I understand. You got in trouble on the show for that before.
Whose body did I shame?
I'm not going to say that. I'll tell you during the break.
Oh, I would love to know this. Oh, I do know this.
You do know this.
Yeah, I remember
on
that.
This on this version. Oh, that wasn't right. That I, you know what? I shouldn't have said that. You're right. I shouldn't have said that.
Correct.
What a guy. On Mardi Gras.
Happy Fat Tuesday.
Happy Fat Tuesday.
Oh, we have other players that are portly.
You Darvish.
You Darvish is not portly.
I know.
No. No. But Edwin Encarnacion is.
He's a little thick, thicker.
He's a thick gentleman.
Yeah, he's a thicker gentleman.
He's a thick gentleman, I'd say. Ed E. Playing for the Indians, getting up there in age.
Crapped out last year, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, with no reason, no warning.
Correct.
Very sad.
Could he come back in 2018?
Maybe he had to get used to the park.
Maybe.
I mean, you're playing in Colorado, essentially, when you're playing in Toronto.
Correct.
I don't know. Maybe he was hurt. Those are the only two. I mean,
People aren't looking for you to say, I don't know.
I know, but like, well, that's why I'm staying away from him.
Okay.
That's what it usually leads to. Like, I don't want, someone tried to pawn him off on me in a keeper league. I'm like, no, thank you.
Now, you said he crapped out last year.
Yeah.
Did he, though?
I remember him crapping out last year.
Here's his numbers in 2016. It's 2 years ago. Last year in Toronto. Batted .263, 42 homers, 99 runs scored, and 127 RBI. It's a very good year.
Very good year.
All right.
MVP year.
Last year, .258 rather than .263. So that's 5 points lower, whatever. Down from 42 home runs to 38 home runs. 4 home runs. 96 runs scored, 107 RBIs. Better walk rate, same strikeout rate. Babbitt was the same. .270.
Interesting.
He had the same year in 2017 that he did in 2016.
I remember him crapping out last year.
He got off to a slow start.
Yeah, I gotta look at his game log. Hold on.
He got off to a slow start, so I think that's why people have the negative connotation of him. And you know what? If that drives his ADP lower, I'm down for it.
His two halves were basically the same. .263 in the first half, .252 in the second half. 18 home runs in the first half, 20 home runs in the second half.
He was hitting .234 at the end of May.
And that's what it was. He started slow.
In the month of June, he batted .322. In July, .222. In August, .220. In September, .313.
See, he was up and down. There's a lot going on. People would think about him negatively, but in Roto Baseball, you get the full thing.
None, Justin Upton style.
I'm down for it.
You're back with Ed E.
I'm down with Ed E. I put Adam Ronis on double E years ago, almost a decade ago.
E, two spots
Adam
ahead.
Adam Ronis never heard of him before.
No, he didn't.
Really? Double E.
You know, I apologize, man.
Two spots higher than Nelson Cruz.
I guess I just stopped paying attention to Edwin Encarnacion.
How would you rather have, Nelly or Ed E, though?
No. Neither.
I think Cruz gets you a better batting average. I think you get the same home run upside. So I'd probably go Cruz.
They are...
Although, can I just pass on both of them?
Edwin Encarnacion is a little bit younger than Nelson Cruz. I think you're getting very, very similar numbers. I think I would say Santana in that ballpark in Citizens Bank.
He wasn't a part of it. The conversation.
Yeah, you're just bringing up Santana.
Oh, sorry, sorry, sorry. Because I was thinking with the Indians.
Yeah. Okay.
But who else is it? Who else is in that ADP range? If they're
not
that
Santana.
Close.
Santana's like 100 spots later.
Oh.
Edwin Encarnacion.
Who's like 20 down from them?
Nelson Cruz. I'm gonna go 20. Oh, I gave you 20 down before. What about like Will Myers?
I love Will Myers.
Yeah, I knew that was coming. Chris yeah. Davis with a K.
I like Chris Davis a lot. He can launch home runs in any ballpark.
Yes, he can. But can't Nelson Cruz do that too?
Yeah, I think I'm mistaken.
Nelson Cruz is 30. He's my age.
Yeah, that's
a little older.
Yeah.
Well, whatever. He's my age-ish. Will
I'll
Myers
go back,
is not.
I go back to, I would rank him Ed.
That's ageism.
I would rank him, that yeah, is no. ageism. I would rank him Ed.
Not if you're that age.
I would rank him Ed E. Nelly. And then Will Myers. I know Nino's a Will Myers guy, though. How's maybe you can break that down.
Homers
in the next
and steals.
Are you sticking around? Or?
Myers and then the other two are tied. Yeah, I'll stick around for a little bit.
Yeah, all right.
Ventra takes over in an hour.
Nino DeFino, Corey Barson, Greg Sussman, hour number two comes your way next.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Hour number two, Fantasy Sports Today, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. To my right, it's Fantasy Executive.
Yay.
To my left, it's Nino DeFino.
Hi, everyone.
Hanging out. I can't wait till Nino leaves you for overtime and you're by yourself.
No, Ventra's coming up.
I forgot.
Yeah, Chris Ventra.
If he gets his work done.
Dude, he was done at like 10:30 yesterday.
The analyst, Chris Ventra, will be joining.
The closer.
The analyst, 15.
Well, the nickname is The Analyst, though. Well,
they shouldn't have put 15 on his Twitter handle.
The analyst.
I wonder why he used 15.
Maybe it was his number as a JV closer.
I'm guessing 1 through 14 were. Wait, what? Really?
That makes sense that it was his number.
Maybe you live on like 15th Street in Bensonhurst.
Did you ever label your name because your address?
No. Oh, Thurman Munson.
I don't know if Bavone is saying that or if Ventra told him
probably
that's why it is.
Probably told him that.
Ventra told him Thurman Munson, but Thurman Munson played before Ventra time, so that shows that Ventra has
Thurman Munson played
knowledge.
Before every one of our times.
I seen Thurman Munson play.
No, you did not.
I don't know, man.
I don't think I did see Thurman Munson play. When was that plane crash?
79?
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
No, I was too young to see. I was not.
Well, you might have seen
still,
him play.
But still, he's a, you know, it shows that.
Correct.
It shows Ventra has, you know, it shows that he just doesn't root for the team. Like, oh, the glory years and stuff like that. He goes back. He learns the history of the ball club. You feel what I'm saying?
That's true.
I like that. I think Ventra's solid for that. That's a good sports fan right there.
Do you like that? And that's why
I'm a fan of that.
And that's why he'll be on FST OT today.
Yeah, he's a riot too.
How did I mess up the golf show?
What do you mean?
You said I put in one extra segment.
You put in one less segment.
Corey's the host of a golf show, by the way. 300 par.
You put in one less segment.
Fantasy and gambling.
Together.
Yeah, together.
And so yes,
all things golf.
The way I currently have, I'm glad we can have this conversation on air.
Yeah, this is good.
People
like to see the behind the scenes stuff.
The way
how this works.
I have it currently formatted, that extra segment's not in there. So I'm trying to figure out how do I
put
this extra segment into the show.
So you told him it was a segment of 7 minutes, then 10 minutes, and 10 minutes, and 10 minutes, and then 7 minutes. That's 5 segments. We need 6.
Do we?
Yes.
Why?
Because that's what I've been told.
You
by
make the rules, not
no, really? Yeah. I didn't think that was true.
The last 2 weeks I've been told that. And
why don't we just do this then? Why don't we just do 46 minutes straight and then have them just insert the commercials?
Because
he likes his breaks.
I know that's not the nice thing to do. But
and I also need to.
He likes to refocus his notes.
And I want to make it easier for the people that's editing so they have clean.
He's nicer than you. We are better, you know, better than you are here. So yes, so Corey, so just separate one of the segments.
So just make it 5 9-minute segments and 1 10.
Right? No,
that's way too
way
much.
Way too long.
Wait.
It should just be
It needs to be 46 minutes total. Here's some TV knowledge.
Six, 7.5-minute segments.
All right, we'll figure it out together during the break. Vote online. If you're watching the show right now, do it sooner as a fantasy exec. Help map out this golf show, because some segments are more important than the others.
6 7.5-minute segments will do it. And if you go over, great. If you go short, great. We'll figure it out. I'm here. I'm helping produce you.
Six segments, so much. So many commercials.
Do you realize this is what we did my for ears entire are going year? To,
my, if, I hear this, if I hear this song again, yeah. if I hear this okay, song again, my ears are going to bleed.
You don't like this
really,
song?
Really, I'm hearing it too much now.
Yeah. All right. Let me take a break. I got to ask you a basketball question, both of you, when we come back. It's something Steve Kerlad did last night. I think you'll like that, Corey. FST continues right after this.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
Continuing on here on Fantasy Sports Today, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, on a Fat Tuesday, I wanted to take a moment and go to the NBA, Corey, because last night you had said that the Warriors were going to destroy Phoenix.
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah. Phoenix sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
That's not Phoenix shaming either.
It kind of is. To be fair,
it's kind of the truth.
Yeah, well, everything I'm saying is the truth. They killed him, 129-83. But the story wasn't the score of the game. Did you hear about this?
Briefly heard about it. Something that Steve Kerr did last night, this morning.
He basically let the players run the show all day long. Andre Iguodala ran the shoot around in the morning. JaVale McGee, unbelievably enough, ran the computer for the film session. And Iguodala, Draymond, and David West. Basically, Steve Kerr would kind of write something on the whiteboard.
Yeah,
and they would and the players would go in the huddle and sit down with the players and coach.
Yeah,
basically. Now Kerr and the assistants, like Mike Brown, handled like, all the substitutions, but then the players were the ones that was coaching. Like Andre Iguodala standing on the sidelines coaching all night.
Yeah,
and he got some backlash because listen, it's not like when Joe Torre. Kind of used to do it on the last day of the year. He'd have Roger Clemens be the pitching coach and somebody else be the manager. Like, that was cool. For his last day of the year.
Yeah.
Like, nothing really at stake. I guess the Suns are terrible. But, like, doesn't it kind of, like, a little bit rub it in their face how terrible they are?
It's not the Warriors' fault. The Suns are terrible. So, this is what he wants to do with his team. So, I think it's a good idea. Obviously, you got to understand, this team is limping to the All-Star break. The players are bored. The level of competition is not there. So this is something that Steve Kerr, that he did to keep the players engaged. You get them engaged this way. You get them caring and thinking about the game. Something to kind of break up the monotony. The team's been through a lot lately with the referees and the general manager coming down and stuff like that. So it's kind of a cool way to take a little break off of the hard stuff. And, they got one more game before the All-Star break?
I believe so.
One more game before the All-Star break. Then they head towards the break and refocus and get ready for the second half of the season.
Steve Kerr said this. It had to do with me trying to reach my team. And I have not reached them in the last month. They're tired of my voice. I'm tired of my voice. I wasn't reaching them. So we figured this was a good night to pull something out of the hat. This is a good night because you're facing one of the worst teams in the NBA.
I like
the Suns.
Yeah.
Would you ever do this, though? You're facing any of the top 10 teams in your conference? Probably not.
No. Smart move. You're facing a team you know you're going to destroy. You're going to win by 40 points. Right. And people are probably complaining. Like, you know what? You think it's so easy. You do this and see and watch all your teammates run wild and not listen to you. See how easy it is. He probably earned a lot of respect that way.
They won by 46 points.
Maybe he should do it again.
I think Nando is right. I mean, you earn a lot of respect from the team by this. It keeps it loose. It keeps the monotony going. It puts a break into what's been a dark month for the team this season. Probably their first dark month in about 3 years or so.
They're 44-13.
Yeah, but that team should only have 5 losses.
They're 1-4 versus the Thunder, the Rockets, and the Celtics.
Okay.
That's a problem.
Sure.
Because those are the teams you're going to be seeing deep in the playoffs. And not only are they 1-4 against those teams have been blowing them out. So it's clear that we've seen the gap in the Western Conference close. So I think that it's going to be, you know, obviously the second half of the season will be, you know, business as usual. You got this team is playing on Saturday night against a primetime opponent every week. It's a lot going on. They got the All-Star break coming up for them, going to the All-Star game. So I think it's a good idea by Kerr. That's why I promote Pop Kerr 2020. That's my 2020 ticket. Now, have you heard about this?
I think I've heard a little bit about it.
Pop and Kerr. I don't know. I don't care who's the head in front of the ticket. Just those two.
Kerr's kind of dubious.
You think you would put Kerr at the head of the ticket?
I think Pop could do it. No, I would. I don't think I'd put Kerr there. I don't know who I put there.
Oh, you take Kerr.
Kerr's got a very political background. Like, his family is like a military, moved all around the world. And he has like a very, very smart mind when it comes to that stuff.
No, it just looks like kind of like Paul Ryan-y, you know? Like, I look at him and I'm like, you know.
He's probably Pop. Yeah.
He wants to do this. Popovich would shake things up.
Yeah, I can see that. He makes a point. No, I know he makes a point.
I'm going to refrain all comments on Paul Ryan.
No, it's the look. He's got the look.
Yeah.
I don't care. Forget about what he stands for, what he does. He's got that. You know, he's got kind of like that. If Kerr junior would, congressman look.
What if Kerr was taller?
Maybe that'd be something.
Yeah. See, Pop.
Yeah, like Hornacek has it too. Like Hornacek, he'd be like, he's a congressman.
Yeah.
Ugh.
But like Popovich, no.
Yeah, Popovich
does not look like he doesn't look like that.
He looks like he looks like somebody's like wise uncle.
Yeah.
What if like Mark Cuban?
Grizzled.
What if Mark Cuban like actually ran for president? He's like, Pop, I want you to be my vice president.
I think that'd be wonderful.
That'd be crazy. Steve Kerr did go out of his way after the game to go out to Jay Triano, who's the interim head coach in Phoenix, and be like, listen. This wasn't because of anything. I wasn't reaching my team. This is kind of how I tried to figure out a way to reach them. And Triano responded saying, listen, you have to do what you got to do to build your own team up. If he thinks it helps, I tip my hat.
What a guy. Probably don't want to get fined.
He probably was upset too, though.
I'm sure he was pissed off.
Yeah, I'm quite sure he felt some kind of way. You know what I'm saying?
The players coached the team and they lost by 46.
Yeah, so that doesn't look good for him. No. You know, and I understand. You know, like you said, Kerr has to take care of his team, but it was a nice thing to do to go over there and explain to the other to the interim coach what was going on.
Should have done it beforehand. Doesn't have his number, he can't text him, say, listen, dude, I'm doing something weird. It's got nothing to do with you, just want to let you know.
I agree.
He should have told him before. I agree.
Should've, right?
Absolutely. Should have said it beforehand.
Like he doesn't have his phone number or email.
Yeah.
Probably j.triano@suns.com. You know? Just take a shot. It's either that or J. Triano, you know?
I'm quite sure they have this, you know, I'm quite sure Pop was like, you know, who's his agent?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, have your agent contact his agent and then exchange numbers and you send a text out there. That can be done in the NBA. So I agree. He should have done that, and this will be. This is going to, when he runs. The people are going to remember.
It's going to come back. It's going to come back to haunt him.
There you go. By the way, the San Antonio Spurs went to Utah last night, and they lost 101-99. The Jazz are now on a 10-game winning streak, Corey, led by Donovan Mitchell's 25-7, 20-7 from Joe Ingles, 19-7 from Derek Favors.
They're playing with house money.
They're
playing with house money. They're playing relaxed.
Trade away Rodney Hood. No more Gordon Hayward, obviously. Mm-hmm. Trade for Jay Crowder.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting.
They're playing with house money. So they're a team that, where are they in the standings in the Western Conference
now? They are now one game over 500 after this 10-game winning streak, and they currently sit
the ninth seed?
They are the 10th seed.
The 10th seed?
Right now.
So
they are a game and a half back of the 8th seed.
They take down the Warriors in the first round.
They play tremendous
defense.
That's
what we're saying. They play the Warriors very, very tough.
They play tremendous. They're a very good defensive team, too. They rotate well on the pick and roll. They still don't have no. It's no dominant scoring presence without Gordon Hayward.
Donovan Mitchell, man.
He's playing well. Those are tough spots when these must-win games. Put it like this. When you're trying to get over that hump, you need a player that the referees are going to put on the free throw line in the fourth quarter. They don't have that player on the Jazz.
You know who loves the Jazz? Intern Matt.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
Intern Matt is a huge Jazz fan.
Which is very weird to me.
Because he didn't really see Stockton and Malone.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about that yesterday.
Yeah.
But listen, for the Jazz, they're a game and a half back of the Pelicans who don't have Anthony Davis anymore. They have Emeka Okafor instead.
Mm-hmm.
They're one game back of the Clippers, who don't have Blake Griffin anymore.
They got some pieces in play. They should have some action down.
They certainly put themselves right back into the mix with this 10-0 streak.
You know, and I'm just going to take us off track here for a second.
Sounds about right.
Because you brought up intern Matt and why he likes the Jazz. And I was going to say, maybe he likes jazz music. And I was just thinking, like, if I'm into jazz, but seriously, if I'm into jazz and there's a team called Jazz,
why,
like,
not?
If it was like the Milwaukee, like, hip hop,
yeah,
would you kind of be like, I like hip hop, yeah, I think I like this Milwaukee team?
Yeah, and especially if they had, you know, if you like the players and stuff like that, you get down with the movement. Yeah. I don't think Sonny's a jazz fan, though, like, musically.
No, I don't think he is either. Yeah. I'm just kind of, you know,
that is
wild.
Interesting. Yeah,
if it's like the San Antonio Garbage Pail Kids,
yeah,
I'd be all over that. I'd probably root for them. You love it, Greggy. You miss Madika yet?
The Pelicans beat Detroit last night, 118-103. It's Blake Griffin falling there. He had 22-6. Andre Drummond's had a monster year, man. 13 points, 21 rebounds.
Yeah, Andre Drummond is putting together a great season. NBA All-Star. He's getting it done. I mean, that dude, he get on. No, is anybody in the league get on the boards like him?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Like, well, Boogie's out now. Boogie get on the boards like that. But that dude, he really grabbed rebounds.
Yeah, when it comes to rebounds, he leads the NBA 15.7 rebounds per game. Can you name who's second? Not Boogie. Boogie's third.
Second in the NBA in rebounds would be...
I will tell you, they played last night. His team played last night and won. If you know the NBA scores from last night.
Second, is it Draymond Green?
It is not Draymond Green. This player last night had 16 points and 17 rebounds in his team's victory.
Is an international player, isn't it?
It is not.
It's not an international.
It is an American, born and bred.
Anthony Davis?
It's not Anthony Davis.
DeAndre Jordan?
It is DeAndre Jordan. DeAndre Jordan and the Clippers defeated the Nets 114-101. Danilo Gallinari had 16. Austin Rivers had 17. Off the bench, Lou Williams with 20. The Nets are very bad.
Yep. Nets, that was my lock of the night.
Clippers were lock of the night, right?
Huh?
The Nets?
By the way, Chris Ventura has finished the graphics, which means he will be on FST OT. Today.
Good times,
man. How about that?
Chris Ventura. Can't wait.
The analyst. Take a break. Let's get back into Fat Tuesday when we come back.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, alongside Nando DeFino, Fantasy Executive Corey Parson as well. It's Mardi Gras, people!
Yes!
Yep, Heavy Set Tuesday.
Heavy Set Tuesday, indeed. Portly Tuesday.
Portly Tuesday.
If you will.
Well, I think portly is just as body-shaming as...
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Still talking about someone's weight.
Well, yeah, for sure.
I gotta say, I like to say heavy set or thicker.
Well, the nickname today is Fat Tuesday.
Well, thicker is sometimes a compliment.
Yeah, because you just don't want to be body shaming people. I'm not with that. I had gotten in trouble for that last year.
You did.
With our friend in the industry.
Yes.
I didn't mean it that way. I was reprimanded about it.
You were indeed.
And then
by the Nats sitting across from
you. Yes, and then
I didn't reprimand. I just said be nice.
Oh, you're pissed.
By the time they went off air, I was calm.
It's true.
Yes. Yeah. So,
and it wasn't just you.
No, it was the king too.
Anyway, you know, why dwell on the past?
Why dwell on the past? We could talk about Gary Sanchez in the future.
Gary Sanchez. Want to embrace him?
But you can't.
I think he's going to outperform his dollar value.
Okay.
I think because people are so focused on Judge and Stanton that they're forgetting about Gary Sanchez.
Okay.
But the price is just a little too high for what I want to do for a catcher.
Price is very high right now. If you look at the NFBC for Gary Sanchez, you're having Gary Sanchez go number 21 overall.
That's too high.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's too high.
Two spots later than Aaron Judge, by the way.
That's too high for a catcher. I'm not going to pay up for a catcher like that. Even in we all play in two catcher format. Yeah, I'm going to try to get values on catchers. I'm not going to pay up for the top guy. Just not. That's like drafting Gronk early.
Right, exactly. Oh, where was Buster Posey in his golden years, like 4 years ago?
Here?
No, not here, but wasn't he sitting like right around 30-ish?
I'm assuming he was sitting here-ish, to be honest with you.
But he was playing first base, too, so there's no chance that Gary Sanchez plays first base. Maybe some DH.
Well, I think it is, you know, I think it is possible, potentially. I mean, behind Greg Bird, you have a guy like Tyler Austin you probably love.
I like him. Yeah. I liked Garrett Cooper a lot more.
Why do you like Garrett Cooper now in Miami?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I was talking as a Yankee.
Do you like Garrett Cooper in Miami?
Garrett Cooper's about to go off the board right now in our NFBC 46th round. Garrett Cooper.
Who is it? You and Chris?
You mean Vaccaro?
Yeah, he's a nut, isn't he?
You know what? Vaccaro doesn't get mad anymore when I pick weird players. He gets mad when I let the clock run down because I forget to make my... Like, I was going to forget this. If you didn't say NFBC ADP, I would have just floated through the rest of the day until I got the text from Vaccaro.
But I thought we just welcomed the squad Ryan Schimpf.
I had him queued up. I had Garrett. So here's who I have queued up: Ryan Schimpf, Garrett Cooper, Danny Espinosa, Kyle Crick, Shelby Miller.
I heard you talking about Danny Espinosa earlier last week. Al.
Yeah.
You like Danny Espinosa on the Yankees?
I think Danny Espinosa is going to win one of the Yankees jobs.
I kind of agree with you.
Yeah, and I think they don't care. Like, he was going to hit 220, no big deal. He can launch 30 home runs.
Sure.
He's two years removed from 25 home runs.
Sure.
I think.
How long will he have the job for? Obviously.
Probably not too long, but I mean, if they don't do much at third base, like they didn't get Todd Frazier.
Nope.
Danny Espinosa is a good, good fielder.
Mike Moustakas is still out there, though.
I don't know if he's a Yankees guy.
Okay.
Why would you spend money on Mike Moustakas if Dan... Well,
you also have Andujar at their waiting.
I don't buy the Andujar thing.
Really?
I don't think they're going to go with Andujar.
He's kind of a fat guy.
Is he?
I think so.
All right. I think Danny Espinosa, I think they're going to be focused on defense a little bit.
Okay.
You got two huge outfielders out there who are probably going to be a little bit slow.
Sure. Well, one of them will probably be DH, I would think.
I don't know, would they?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Then I guess you got a declining Jacoby Ellsbury, who's not as fast as he used to be.
You're going to have Aaron Hicks in center.
Older field. Brett Gardner.
Brett Gardner in left.
Yeah.
Aaron Hicks in center. He's fast and good.
I don't know.
You like Aaron Hicks this year.
I like Aaron Hicks.
So
I think he's getting too expensive, like everybody else in the Yankees, though.
Well, the thing about Aaron Hicks is he's the guy that's been that was like that's being slept on. So I think he's the one that can pop.
I agree.
But Wes is ADP.
229?
I can do that.
That's
at
all right.
229.
I got no problem. Who's around 229? Who's
around 229? Outfielder David Dahl.
Well, that's another interesting
one. You see, Dahl is the dude that was going in like the third round last year. Yeah,
this is why I like auctions. This is the reason why I like auctions, because I would want both of them on my team.
Sure.
And you can't do that in a draft.
Does that work with roster construction? No, not though. If you put both of those dudes on your team, both of those outfielders?
Sure, you got Dahl with, I guess a high average potential and maybe some power.
In Colorado.
I worry about what if both of them don't hit.
Then
I think Dahl's going to hit. I think Hicks I could see dropping down. Although Hicks is like 230 days, I think, are way behind him. I think he's matured. If you look at the minor leagues, Aaron Hicks was a decent hitter. So, like, I think it was really... A lot of the time I go back to, you're not getting regular playing time. If you're a baseball player, you want to be good, you really want to hit at those numbers that you were supposed to, that you came up with the minors with, you can't bleed like two out of every 3 days.
You know, Aaron Hicks
takes you out of a groove.
Aaron Hicks, by the way, only batted 266 last year, and it was all said and done. Just saying.
He's the opposite of Edwin Encarnacion.
I'm just saying. Batted 266. Babbitt was a career high 290, which is interesting. 15 homers, 10 steals. Only played 88 games because he got hurt, didn't have the job early on. He is the starting center fielder. Of course, if he struggles early, they may turn back to Jacoby Ellsbury, which is an issue.
It's weird. That whole situation is weird.
Clint Frazier there, who I know you like, but no playing time.
Clint Frazier needs an entire outfield to be wiped out ahead of him.
Legitimately.
Yeah. It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
And they keep saying they're going to trade him, but it's like the Astros problem. Like, they might trade someone, but like, what do they need back?
It's true.
You get a couple prospects.
Pitching?
Yeah.
Pitching.
The Astros have a ton of pitchers.
Well, no, I understand that, but they're not going to trade him to the Astros.
I'm just saying, like...
I'm saying the Yankees could use some pitching.
They could?
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to go for Arrieta.
No.
I would love Lance Lynn on the Yankees.
Really?
Nice control pitcher.
He's a big man, Lance Lynn, as well.
Yeah, there you go.
He's a
Mardi
big
Gras, dude. Lance Lynn.
Mardi Gras, Lance Lynn. Now, a lot of people, we were talking about Lance Lynn earlier this week, Corey.
Yeah.
And Modica doesn't really like him.
No, he doesn't, because like Lance Lynn is like just a guy.
But he likes Lance Lynn a lot.
I don't kind of like players like that.
Modica's a peripherals guy more than I am. Okay. I sometimes just take the ERA and the whip for what it is.
Okay.
I like the FIP. I'm a fan of FIP.
He's ex-FIP.
Right. He's both, isn't he?
He's ex-FIP.
Yeah. Anyway.
I don't know what this means.
Lance Lynn used to had great ERA. If you go back and look before he got hurt, you're like, oh, this guy was on a roll, and he was coming into his own. I don't know. I think Modica looks more like BABIP, launch rate, that kind of stuff.
And yeah.
I use that as tiebreakers, really.
Okay.
Like, we're not going to learn from Joey Gallo's launch angle.
Joey Gallo's launch angle is great, but he can't make out the dude anything
right,
else.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, so what if he lowers it by 2 degrees? Sure. Is that a sign of maturity? Is that a sign of trying to hit more doubles?
Frank Stample was telling me about the launch angle. Who was telling me? He was saying something about Tommy Pham yesterday. And it was just like something, now I forget what it was. Frank, if you're listening, just put a headset on or something.
But then you got to pair the launch angle with, you know, batted ball velocity and like park factor and so much other stuff.
So there's that like
just look at his batting average,
terrible.
Dude. Yeah,
it was terrible.
But he could have been hiding an injury. He could have had a bad shoulder.
Stanford.
Just bring him up. Make him come upstairs. Frank, we got another microphone.
He's very busy.
Yeah, that's right, man. Don't take him off his task.
He's very busy.
He's an employee of the month, if you ask me.
Oh, I agree.
Of every month.
He works very, very hard.
I'm a big fan. There goes Kayla. I'm saying.
Give her a bead.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, go ahead. Get out of here. Come back.
Be right back.
Give her the one with the words.
Because it's a Fat Tuesday.
Yeah, that's right.
Makes sense. I'll be right back. I'll be right back, yo.
Keep your microphone on. It's more fun that way.
Yeah, I'll be right back, yo.
Greggy, you just let him walk out on your show like this?
You pushed him out.
I didn't think he was going to do that, for real.
Are you kidding me? Don't you know him?
I don't even know Kayla is. I can't see. I need a mirror. We got to put a mirror up right there so I can see.
You know Kayla, the waitress that he's been friends with since he started here?
The breakfast waitress?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I know who that is.
Okay, he's now actually going to do this.
Give a play-by-play. It's too bad we can't get that because it reflects. That camera reflects off the...
Correct.
The windows.
Correct. So, yeah.
Anyway, back to Lance Lynn.
I want to move on from Lance Lynn.
Anyway, back to this pick. I don't know if I want to do Garrett Cooper anymore.
Okay. Why are you considering Shelby Miller? Is he going to pitch in the majors this year?
Yeah, you know, screw it. I'm doing Garrett Cooper.
Okay.
I hope he's listening. Shelby Miller, I think, by June.
Really? That's
yeah,
June?
June, July. Garrett Cooper in.
Welcome to the squad, Garrett Cooper.
But Shelby Miller is also going into a situation where I know a lot of people like Archie Bradley, but I'm from the school that Archie Bradley is a multi-innings pitcher.
Okay.
Remember when it was David Robertson versus...
Rafael Soriano?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was like, well, Robertson's pitched way more 1.2, 1.3.
Yes.
So the argument was Robertson's going to be middle relief. When everyone's assuming Robertson was going to be the closer, it's right. No, Robertson's middle relief, man.
Right.
He's more valuable there.
Right.
I think that's what's going to happen with Archie Bradley. You got Jimmy Scherfie, who's unproven. You got the guy they brought over from Japan.
Well, you have Brad Boxberger as well.
You got Brad Boxberger, who, I mean, he was good 4 years ago, three
sure.
years ago.
Yeah, you're back, Corey.
Someone just walked back in with the beads.
We almost got in trouble.
We?
Yeah, we. Oh. I wasn't going there by myself. The big dudes is here. And they was like, oh, I thought you was giving out beads. And I'm like, oh. So he was listening, and then he just walked upstairs. Jeremy.
Yeah, so what?
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, you know, I ain't want to.
So come back in and be like, here's some beats for you.
No, I don't think they could put them on either. I don't think it'd go with their outfit and the rest
fine.
And the people in Rock and Raleigh. I don't think it'd go with their outfit.
I see him now.
You see him. That's the people that signed the checks.
Yeah.
I'm about that bag too, so I don't need no problem with them people.
Anyway, Shelby Miller can come back as a starter or possibly reliever slash down the line, maybe six saves.
I don't know when Shelby Miller's coming back.
Shelby Miller had surgery in May.
So he's like, so now it takes 14 to 16 months now.
It's 12, man. It's
not
a new
12.
World.
It's
12 months.
It's not 12 anymore.
He'll
it's
be fine. 16. He's already throwing.
I don't think Shelby Miller.
No, I don't think he's throwing yet, actually. I have no idea.
I don't think you want Shelby Miller on your team.
I don't, but I think at the end here, if you're looking at... So what happened with me and Vaccaro last year was we were like wire to wire from like May until the second to last day of the season.
Right.
In first place.
Okay.
We lost 4 points on the last day of the season and finished in second.
That's brutal.
And then he refused to pay for steaks the other night because of it.
Really?
No.
How did he blame you?
We just snuck the bill in without him knowing.
Why did he blame you?
He didn't.
Okay, good.
But we had Mike Minor on our bench who got 4 saves in the last week.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean? Like, we had all these things where we didn't have a strong finish. And so now I'm thinking, let me get these guys who are going to strong finish us. So I got Shelby Miller. I got a couple other guys who are like strong finishy who I can't remember right now. Coming back. I got Brandon Finnegan, who might miss a little bit of time. Come back from the shoulders, but he'll be fine.
What do you make of that Cincinnati rotation?
We took in Julio Urias, too.
Sounds about right.
Love this. I wish that Cincinnati rotation was in Seattle.
Okay.
I wish they just had a different park.
Because there's so many guys there. From Finnegan to Sal Romano to Amir Garrett, who's such a thing last year. No one's talking about him. It's all about
Luis Castillo. Remember we had him on my team, Amir Garrett.
Yeah. He's St. John's guy.
Nobody wants him.
They shouldn't treat him like that.
It's true. Hey, I got another fat guy for you. He plays in Chicago. He plays the outfield, but not really well. He's a catcher, and then lost catcher eligibility. I want to get an honest opinion on Kyle Schwarber when we come back. Fat Tuesday, here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Hello,
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
We're back with you. We'll get to Kyle Schwarber in a few moments. Because I want to remind you to go to DKMS.org.
Oh, I love that.
DKMS.org. When we're in talking about the Olympics, and the Olympics are ongoing, of course, we're all celebrating sports. We're celebrating the world. Well, it's important to remember that we're here together to help each other and to try to help each other and legitimately save lives. And you can do that by simply going to DKMS.org and considering becoming a bone marrow donor. There are so many people that just need help. And in order to get on a list and just, you know, consider the possibility, you swab your cheeks, takes a minute, send it back to DKMS, they do the rest. They match you up with somebody that could ultimately use your bone marrow. The procedure takes place, doesn't hurt, takes a few hours, you go home, life saved. That simple. DKMS.org, all of the information is located there, and they will help you through everything in the process. And just think about it, as you're watching the Olympics, as you're watching these nations come together and participate in sport, remember, you can help someone, not just in America, but all around the world. TKMS.org, the place you can do that. The Olympics last night, saw the crowning of a new Olympian, a new star, if you will.
Who?
Her name...
Was it the 15-year-old?
I believe she was 17.
These Olympians get younger and younger, don't they?
They start younger, I think.
Man, my goodness.
Yeah, so she basically the female Shaun White, I believe. She was too young to participate in the Olympics last time around. She wanted to. She was still considered the one of the best in the world. But Chloe King finally last night had the opportunity to get gold. And she did it. She is a 17-year-old Korean-American woman. Her parents are from South Korea. She goes back to South Korea, or goes to South Korea, and wins gold in the half pipe.
It's a good story.
Thank you. It was a near-perfect run. So her first run on the half pipe, she had a score of like 93, which is like awesome, obviously.
Out of 100?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry, man. I want to know more about the Olympics. I just don't have time.
She hits a 93.
Oh, like, what if it was 150? What if there were three judges? 50
you never
each?
Know.
Yeah, you don't know.
All right.
Sorry, Greg.
It's fine. Now, she had a 93. And everyone's trying to...
That's like an A, right?
Yeah, sure.
If you look at a grade scale, that's
she
an
had
A.
She had an A.
What would be an A minus?
I think it's when you go below 90.
92.
92 would be an A minus.
93 is really an A minus also. Really? 93 and under. 94 to 96 is an A, and then 97 and up is an A plus.
Okay, so you got an A minus. That's good. Her parents would be very proud of her.
That's great. The Americans had a chance to actually sweep this event. They didn't. But she has this 93, and nobody beats her.
No one's complaining about the wins, right? The wins
Not this particular event.
Good to hear.
Wins are fine. So her second run is like whatever, and by the time she's at her third run, she had it wrapped up. So she had what's called... the run for glory, or the victory run, because it was over.
Oh, so like she had already bodied it. Mm-hmm. She had already finished the competition off. Nobody could catch her, and then she just got to go one more round by herself, like a practice round.
Basically.
I would have showed off for her.
She did. She did these like ridiculous jumps and these ridiculous flips and stuff.
Wow.
She wound up with a score of 98.
Oh, man, she beat herself.
She beat herself.
That's crazy.
She beat herself.
Shout out to her. What's her name?
Chloe Kim.
Shout out to Chloe. Fantasy executive gives you a special shout. Give her a game ball.
They're all the way up top now.
There's Giants one you could grab if you'd like.
No, I'm not going to touch that one.
Okay. It's Chloe Kim.
Chloe Kim. Fantasy executive, goon squad, the whole crew over here at FNTSY would like to give you a game ball for making America great again.
She becomes the youngest. She becomes the youngest female Olympic gold medalist on snow in the halfpipe event.
Isn't there something to be said for the fact that she got her highest score and she was just like, "All right, no pressure. I'm just going to go for it." She should have done that first. She's just gone nuts on the first
one. I wish more children, like, that's something that adults can learn from that too. You feel what I'm saying? Like that spirit. I love that spirit.
Dance like nobody's watching. By the way, like the coffee mug says. Yeah.
Currently, you know what country currently is in the lead with medals?
Norway, I think.
That is correct. Yeah. They have 11. Do you know who's next?
The Olympic athletes from Russia?
It is not the Olympic athletes from Russia now.
Then I don't know.
It's Netherlands. The Netherlands have one medal behind Norway.
Good old Benelux.
They have 10, tied with the Canadians. Also at 10, Norway, number one with 11. USA just has 6.
They have such an advantage, though, because it's always cold there. They don't have 4 seasons.
In Norway?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they have four seasons.
I'm pretty sure.
Sometimes you just gotta go with it.
They might have longer, harsher winters.
Yeah, but whatever.
I believe they have summers.
We also, yesterday, or really overnight, we had our first doping scandal of this Olympics. It was not the Russians.
Somebody was doping.
Japanese short track speed skater Kai Saito tested positive for a banned diuretic in the first doping case of the Olympics.
Shame.
Yeah. Doping is tough. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to see that part of the Olympic process right there. So lay off that stuff.
I wish you had a little more that could have just gone across the screen too.
Lay off that stuff though.
He denied internationally intentionally doping. He was shocked by the results. He's never doped. He's never considered using steroids. He would never need
somebody could have put something in his water too.
He was a reserve.
Oh, he was a reserve.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that important.
Well, it's still a doping scandal. Kind of, we gotta bring it up. Did you know, now that you wrote the more you know, do you know the first sound that was ever copyrighted? Ever? I believe it was copyrighted, not trademarked. One of those.
No.
No?
Was it the skiing swoosh? I'm sorry. I'm guessing it has something to do with the Olympics.
It was the first sound. I believe it was copyrighted, not trademarked. It might have been trademarked, not copyrighted. But it's one or the other.
Don't know.
It's the NBC. Doo-doo-doo.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
So there you go.
Smart.
The more you know.
Smart on them.
There you go. The more you know. That was pretty much what happened in the Olympics yesterday. Shaun White qualified in the half pipe.
Good for him.
As we expect. Do you like Shaun White better, Corey, with short hair or long hair?
Oh, long hair. Shaun White's a long hair guy to me.
Yeah, same. Yeah. He's a short hair guy now.
He's gone clean cut in the commercials.
It's going to be, for Shaun White's event, it's going to be him versus this Australian dude, Scotty James. And it's supposed to be like an epic battle between these two during the halfpipe.
Like Dan versus Dave?
Shaun White, two-time gold medalist, scored a 98.5 to edge Scotty James. Interesting.
It was better than the girl.
It's a three-run final. The Sochi silver medalist, Ayumu Hirano, is the one that finished third. Hirano won the Winter X Games last month with back-to-back 1440-degree double corks.
You know who's in the X Games?
Wow. Jake Seale, yeah.
Jake's really
that's his thing right there. Yeah. He likes that stuff.
The finals will be 12 people, including 4 Americans. Shaun White, Ben Ferguson, Jake Pates, and Chase Josie. 4 Americans out of 12. We got a pretty good shot to
not bad.
Do some damage there.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. There you go. That's your Olympic roundup.
Or is it bad? Because you could argue that really Americans kind of brought snowboarding into the forefront.
Okay.
So if we've only got a third.
It's pretty good, though. Third of the whole world.
Should be half, man.
Third of the whole world.
Yeah, I mean, like we invent, it's like, the best pizza place is in... Where? Germany? Like if you say that four of the 12 best pizza places in the world are in Italy, you'd be like, oh, I would think there should be like 10.
I agree.
You should have that. Italy should have a monopoly
but
on
did
that.
Did we create snowboarding? Is that us?
I don't know. I think we did.
It might not have been us.
I feel like the culture.
Oh, I can definitely see suburban kids.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I feel like we invented snowboarding.
Mm-hmm. It was developed in the United States in the 1960s.
Bling, bling.
And became a winter Olympic sport in Nagano in 98.
There you go.
There you go.
We've lost our grip on the snowboarding supremacy.
I guess so. Hey, on this day in history, by the way.
It's like if Jamaica got awesome at curling.
That would be very weird.
That could happen, though.
Is there snow in Jamaica?
It
doesn't have to be. Currently, could be indoors.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Not enough. I don't see them getting into that.
So I wrote this one on this day in history, knowing that you would be here today for this.
Oh, great.
So on this day, in 1971, do you know who the vice president was?
1970, Spiro Agnew?
Spiro T. Agnew hit nice two shots.
I'm a history nerd.
Hit two tee shots into the crowd and hurt people.
At a pro-am?
Just an event, yeah.
That's pretty funny.
Spiro T. Agnew, that's correct.
Yeah.
1971.
Yeah.
That happened today.
That's funny.
I thought you'd like that one.
That had to have been, well, Johnny Golf over there should probably know what tournament. It's probably the Pebble Beach Pro-Am,
I
actually.
I said it's Pebble Beach. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pebble Beach just happened.
Spiro Agnew just taking part in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am.
Just like that, chilling, just banging people upside the head.
There it's pretty hard to hurt one person with a golf ball in the crowd at this point.
He injured two people. I don't have the event. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
I apologize. Also on this day in history, by the way, Larry Bird's free throw streak game ended at 71.
Oh, look at that. 71 yeah. games or 71 made free throws?
I wrote games, but definitely could have been made free throws.
Okay. Either or, whatever it is a good job one of the greatest ever to do it.
A couple of major birthdays today, Corey.
All right. That's cool.
1947, Coach K was born.
1947, Coach K.
Still has black hair, though.
Yes, amazingly, like Ray Lewis.
Amazing.
Amazing.
What's that make him? 71.
71 years old, Coach K. Happy birthday to TCU head coach Gary Patterson today.
Gary Patterson does a good job.
Very good head coach.
How old's Jim Boeheim?
He's an old man.
I wonder who's older.
75.
It's not his birthday, though. Just saying.
Boeheim's 73.
So, yeah, he's a little bit older.
A couple years older than Coach K.
And also on this day, 1977.
How old's PJ Carlissimo? Sorry, Greg, go ahead.
PJ Carlissimo?
He's 68.
You think he's in the same class as Boeheim and Coach K?
He's 68.
Okay. 1977, Hall of Fame NFL wide receiver was born, Corey.
1977, Hall of Fame NFL wide receiver was born.
You're a very big fan of this player.
1977. Michael Irvin?
No. 1977, my friend.
Michael Irvin.
So it would make him 41 today.
Minnesota Vikings wide receiver Randy Moss.
Oh, Randy Moss was born today. How about that?
Randy Moss is purple. Born today. There you go.
Randy Moss was beast.
Happy birthday to Randy Moss.
That was subtle. He handed you the purple one.
That's what I did. Yeah,
I like that, Greggy.
You like that?
To Randy Moss. Crazy.
Thank you very much.
Are the bosses gone yet? Can you start giving away beads? Or?
They're sitting there reading the newspaper now. We're taking a break. We'll find out Corey's lock of the night presented to you by DailyRoto.com when we come back.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Life's been good for CeCe, but no interest in fantasy baseball. He was a bulldog last year. Had a great season for them, but doesn't make you interested in fantasy this year.
I like K-9. That's the first thing I look at. And CeCe Sabathia hasn't had a crazy K-9 in a little while.
He doesn't really do that anymore.
I think K-9 can help you become a better ERA and whipper. I don't think it works the other way around. 7.3 last year, 7.6, 7.4. He had a 9.4 aberration, went back down to 7.5. Those are the last five seasons of K-9.
Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern, only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Coming up, FST continues with FST OT. Corey Parson takes control. Jake Seeley along for the ride.
Jakey.
Jake and the Atlas together. That'll be fun.
I gotta leave these for Ventura.
Well, you can stay right now.
Well, forget.
What are you doing?
Leave it for.
I have more beads.
He has a meeting to go to.
I'm organized.
I know he's got to do his corporate thing now.
I got to go make graphics for your golf show. I've got 10 of them done.
It's terrible.
I just sent the rundown in.
I need to make 30.
All right, this time, welcome in the All-In Kid. What's up, Jakey?
For your six segments.
What's going on?
Not much, man.
Let's put Jake on the TV behind us and get him angry. Do it, Corey. Grab the thing.
He's going to be so mad at you when you do this. No!
There's no point. Especially with Greg right dead in the middle.
Well, I'm leaving, to be fair. Do you actually want me to do this?
Yeah, I'll do it. So he can get mad at me.
Oh, man. I don't want him there. When we do overtime, I don't want him there for overtime. No, I don't like him behind me.
No, it's scary. Yeah, Jake, you're just staring down at you.
Yeah. I don't like him. I don't like that look. I like him on the side. But then sometimes when he's on the side, you see when I'm talking to him, I'm looking to the side. It doesn't look good on camera.
That's true.
But
we're not going to have it. We're just going to have us behind us.
All
That's what's changing right now.
Yeah,
that's what
right.
We can see.
All right, fine.
That's weird.
That's cool. That is kind of
there's
weird.
The infinite.
Look at this. How
yeah.
That's
us infinite.
Watch. That thing.
Oh, they changed the camera on us.
Oh,
I'm
well.
Sorry.
Anyway.
I want to get to Coors Lock of the Night here.
Oh, let me look. Let me get ready for that.
Yes, NBA Lock of the Night presented to you by DailyRotor.com. Use FNTSY when you check out. 10% off on it all.
And the golf stuff is free on Daily Roto this week. So go over there, check it out. Their golf, all the premium products that they have for golf is free this week. So go check it out, and then you know, and then that'll be fun. So let me log in.
Toronto, 8-point favorite at home over Miami. The Bucks are a 7.5-point favorite at home against Atlanta. 2.5-point favorite are the Rockets in Minnesota. Thunder and Cavs are off the board as we wait to find out if Russell Westbrook and Carmelo Anthony will play tonight. Mavericks and Kings off the board as well, just like the Spurs and the Nuggets.
Interesting lock of the night. Give me Oklahoma City Thunder.
You're taking the Thunder no matter what it is.
Taking the Thunder. I have a number for the Thunder.
Oh, what do you have?
1.5.
Favorites or underdogs?
Favorite.
1.5-point favorite. Okay.
1.5-point favorite.
So you're taking the Thunder.
I'm taking the Thunder in this one.
There you go. That's Quick Parsons Lock of the Night presented to you by DailyRoto.com.
Still have yet to get a check.
I know you only have 2 more minutes here with us.
Yeah.
Do you have anything you want to ask Jake? Since you're not on the air very much anymore together. So do you have any questions for Jake?
Actually, I do have a question.
Sure.
How's the car payment stuff going?
You're talking about the clicks for the win a free car payment?
Yeah, when Jake asked everybody to click on his car so he could win money.
Apparently, what you have to do is just tell everybody there's only 24 hours left because we got the 206. We got the car payment.
All right! No,
congratulations, Jake!
Yeah.
That's great, Jake.
Now I can afford Tout Wars.
Well, that's all right, Jake.
All right.
It's depressing.
I wonder if they can do something like that for me.
Just get them, just pay your car payments?
I don't have a car payment, but
your rent?
Somebody pay one of these child supports would be good. That'd be nice.
Yeah. Click on that. We made up like 45 in the last 24 hours, Nando.
Put a picture of
that's pretty impressive.
Put a picture of my kids up there.
Who'd you get retweets from? Did it really show who your real friends in the industry are?
Yeah, I also sent an email to a lot of the people in the Flex, and I also found out who my real friends in Flex are, too.
Did Jessica Kleinschmidt retweet you?
I don't think so.
Jake. Sorry, Jake.
Ooh, boy.
Oh, that's something you're hung up on.
Are there any Jake? Are there any people that you expected a retweet from that you did not get one from?
Yeah, actually.
Who?
Probably the three of us at this table.
I did.
Really? I didn't see anything.
I didn't even know what was going on.
I absolutely did it.
This was news to me till just now.
So basically, you're saying these two people, not me. Cool.
Pretty much.
Thanks.
Sorry. Still love you, Jakey.
Jake Sealy.
Watch the Infinite TVs.
We'll be here with Corey Parson, the analyst, Chris Ventura. No, 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 I have to go do some other work. I'll be back at noon for Roto-Extra's podcast live on video, too. I'll see you later. Bye-bye.